Good morning, everyone. It's Sunday, April 21st. I'm Mark Dent, and you're listening to The Hustle Daily Show, the weekend edition. So today, we're going to be talking about the unpredictability of weather and what that means for businesses. It's really hard to go more than a week these days without hearing some sort of statistic about extreme weather. From 2000 to 2019, there was an 83% rise in weather-related natural disasters compared to the previous 20 years. Last year was the hottest year on record, which beat a record that was only set about 7 years earlier. Everything has just gotten very odd and very unpredictable. Now, we certainly don't have apps or startups that can solve climate change, but there are startups out there that are trying to help us navigate all of these unpredictable weather patterns. So today, we have someone on here who is doing just that. Nick Cavanaugh is the founder of Sensible Weather, a climate technology company that reimburses travelers and event goers when they face inclement weather. Nick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, Nick. So I wanted to start out, as I was just kind of mentioning there are just so many different ways that we can like describe how the weather is different than it was certainly a couple generations ago and really just 20 years ago. So how are businesses being affected by weather and why are startups starting to get involved?
So there's a variety of reasons. So, I mean, basically any business that has anything to do with the outdoors, whether that's hospitality, for example, the business that we're in, from energy, agriculture, shipping, all of these things have supply and demand effects coming from weather and ultimately from climate change. Where I got my career started was as a climate scientist studying climate change and the data specifically. After that, I went on to energy and agriculture trading. So looking at supply and demand for those commodities markets, figuring out how weather and climate change played a role, trying to understand how to predict these things. And then finally, in this next installment of my career, looking at the hospitality sector, global hospitality, being one of the largest economies in the world is massively impacted by weather. And this is just as simple as you go on vacation and it rains, or there's too much snow or not enough snow, or it's windy or it's cold, so on and so forth. That impacts your experience, makes you less likely to book, makes you less likely to rebook, more likely to write a bad review. So ultimately, that's where we factor in. And where startups are really coming into play in the weather and climate space, historically, weather and climate data and informatics comes from large government centers.
Like NWS, the National Weather Service, and stuff like that.
Yeah, so the National Weather Service and NOAA, basically each country has their own version, you know, just the same as big corporations, they are slow. So where startups can come in is they can be a little bit more nimble, a little bit more fast moving, pick and choose their problems rather than trying to service everybody all at once. So that's where we're seeing a lot of startups pushing into this area.
Yeah. And so, Nick, you were mentioning there's some of these tie-ups that the economy can have because of weather, and we'll get into sort of hospitality a little bit later and more of what you're doing with it. But you brought up like the supply chain, which is something that has kind of come up a lot. I think everybody's learned a lot about the supply chain since COVID, people who never otherwise thought about it. So, I mean, are we talking about just when there's like these bigger storms or hotter weather that there can be a lot more snafus along the way in the supply chain?
Yeah, so you can think of supply chain, the way that I generally think about supply chain and weather impacting it, you think about shipping and you think about domestic freight. So oftentimes domestic freight, these are trucks. So trucks have, you know, icy weather, snowy weather, hail, they get delayed, they get damaged, they crash, they never make it there. And then on the shipping side of the world, big storms at sea can cause delays, they can cause shipwrecks, so on and so forth. And that's really, when you think about those types of things, it's sort of like, when you're thinking about one particular shipment, that's sort of like the catastrophic case, it never arrives, it gets damaged. There's also a lot of other things where you think, for example, if you're transporting food, concept called spoilage.
Right.
So with trucks, there are refrigerated trucks and non-refrigerated trucks. Refrigerated trucks are more expensive. If you're transporting a bunch of tomatoes, you might make the bet at the start of that journey that it's not going to freeze along the route. If it does freeze along the route, you've then lost all those tomatoes. So that ends up being a huge factor in, you know, agriculture, supply and demand, delivery of food, spoilage. You know, it seems niche, but that's a massive impact. The inability to predict the temperatures, you know, along a truck route can have a massive impact on the supply of food.
Yeah. And so companies, like you were saying, to like prevent things like that from happening, they're getting way more involved into analytics with weather. Is this a fairly new phenomenon? Like how recent are we talking about here? And was there really as much of a need to do it, to say in the 1980s when climate change wasn't quite as much of a deal as it is now?
So I would say, I mean, there's always been a need. And you know, where there's a need, where there's demand, generally supply fills that. What's interesting these days is the problems are often more nuanced. So first of all, it's a bigger economy. There's more stuff that is being impacted by weather. And so there's more opportunity, there's more applications to go after. But then on top of that, you know, things are less predictable and more variable, you know, less predictability combined with more stuff to damage equates to an opportunity. And, you know, the last part of this equation is proliferation of data, big data, the cloud, processing capability. It's all those barriers have gotten lower. So where a startup can come in, for example, pick their niche, and with, you know, I say niche with respect to sort of like the entirety of what you can do with data, you know, they might, for example, pick the tomato spoilage problem, which is big enough for a startup to sink their teeth into. And then the barriers to entry with respect to data availability and compute are low enough that they can build a product and sell it.
Wow. So truly tomato spoilage could be enough for a startup to focus on.
Potentially. Yeah.
Or at least something similar.
Something like similar.
Yeah. Vegetable spoilage.
Yeah. I mean, how big do you think the tomato market is? I actually have no idea.
I don't know either, but I know it's quite large.
I would guess it's tens of billions would be my, you know, off the cuff guess. Tomatoes grown and sold in a year globally.
Yeah. And so before you started Sensible, you were an analyst, right?
So I was at Citadel most recently.
What all did you do as like a data analyst, and how did that impact what a company like Citadel does?
So effectively, I was quant. I focused on commodities, particularly energy and agriculture, mostly energy, and where you see commodities future markets getting impacted by weather, predominantly wholesale electricity. So this is the price of electricity that's traded around behind the scenes before it hits a retail market, traded around behind the scenes by the utilities, by major producers, by demand centers. You know, PG&E, for example, might be trading in an electricity market, as well as natural gas. So natural gas is, in the US, it's the margin fuel. So it's the fuel that gets burned to make up a deficit when demand exceeds supply. So because of that, you know, weather historically impacts electricity demand. So if it's very hot or very cold, people turn on their heater, they turn on their AC, that causes a spike in electricity demand, which must get made up in supply. Historically, again, burning fossil fuels, increasingly renewables. Guess what? Renewables, big weather component, whether that's hydro or wind or solar, all of these things also predictable, you know, to some extent. So what I did at the fund was focused on using weather and climate data to predict supply and demand in these markets. And what's really, really cool about energy markets specifically is, unlike other markets where supply not meeting demand sometimes happens and life goes on, essentially with respect to energy, supply must meet demand.
Right.
Otherwise, it's really cold and nobody has heat.
Yeah. I live in Texas and I was here for the blackout. So
yeah. So you know it better than most.
Yeah. So then how did you get the idea for Sensible Weather? What led you to want to start your own company?
So I'm an avid outdoor enthusiast, particularly skier, but also a variety of other things. I generally like being outside. And because of that, the things that I like doing can get impacted by weather. So while I was at the funds and before that, it's a lot of time forecasting weather for my own purposes. You know, a destination ski trip, I was trying to pick where I was going to go, whether that was surfing, figuring out where to get the best waves, so on and so forth. And at the end of my hedge fund stint, I had access to all this data, analytics, know-how, and basically using it myself as a product. I was also a little annoyed with hedge funds and tired of that at that very moment.
Sure.
And so I was ready to do something else. And I was like, well, you know, let's look to my life, you know, to what I'm already doing using this data. And, you know, it's beneficial to me. Could I build a product that's beneficial to everybody else?
Yeah. And so how does data have to do with Sensible?
So everything we do behind the scenes is data driven. So we have a massive, massive amount of climate and weather information, data stored in the cloud. And we've built a huge data processing architecture on top of it, which allows us to pull data anywhere in the world. What's going on today? What happened 20 years ago? Taking a forecast, whatever you like. And we essentially do a risk analysis. So that allows us any date, any location, any type of risk, weather event that you're concerned about, whether it's rain or heat. We can essentially say, what are the odds? What are the odds of various outcomes? And this is akin to a forecast, a type of forecast called a probabilistic forecast, where you can say, you know, most consumer forecasts, you look 5 days out, it says the maximum temperature is going to be 76 degrees Fahrenheit. There's actually uncertainty bounds around that. There's a chance that it's 70 degrees Fahrenheit. What is that chance? And what we do is calculate those odds. And that allows us to both provide better predictions as well as build weather coverages around them, which you call a weather guarantee. And then on the day, you know, say you bought coverage, you wanted it to be 76 degrees. And if it was less than 70 degrees, you're going to be upset. We monitor weather in real time at that location. And we can say, it's 69 degrees today. You didn't want that. We can send you a text message that says, hey, it's too cold. We said that we would cover you in the event that it was too cold. Click here and get your money.
Wow. Okay. So I want to unpack that a little more because I think it's super interesting. And, you know, people always know travelers insurance and they don't always trust it all the time, but we don't need to get into that. But your product, it's a bit different than that. Tell me, to be clear, just how this weather guarantee works. Are you working with hotel operators and event operators, or are you working directly with consumers? Is it a mix of both? Kind of explain like exactly how someone would buy it or come across it.
So we sell exclusively through our partners.
And by partners, you mean like hotels?
Hotels, theme parks, ski resorts, so on and so forth. We think it's very important to build context around the products, you know, at the point when somebody is purchasing something. There's a lot of benefits that we can provide when we're offering to cover something, eases consumers' minds and they're more likely to book. Moreover, that's the opportune opportunity to sell a product. So we work exclusively with our merchant partners, as well as the tech platforms that they use. So oftentimes it's a third-party software company that, for example, would power the checkout flow on, you know, whatever, hotel.com. We will integrate with them. And then when you, the consumer, goes to book that hotel on the hotel's website, ultimately we're transacting with this software platform to sell a weather guarantee.
About how many weather guarantees have you sold, by the way?
A little north of 80,000, covering something 250,000 or 300,000 days.
Yeah. And so it's like if a consumer who's looking to book a hotel stay or maybe like an outdoor event, they would see it when they're checking out. They would see like, do you want this weather guarantee? And it would explain what it is.
That's correct.
And so what are people buying them for? Like you brought up that scenario of like, hey, like I want it to be 70. So if it's 68, I want, you know, some sort of reimbursement. What exactly are people using these weather guarantees for?
So out there in the real world today, we cover rain, high heat, and snow. We've also tested other variables, things like wind, air quality. Essentially, there are lots of products that we can configure where on the back end, it's all just this massive source of data. And the data is the data to us. If the data says that you've passed some threshold, which is predefined, whether it's temperature or air quality, that will be a triggering event for us to reimburse. The vast majority of what we do is rain. The vast majority of the time, the thing that is going to ruin somebody's vacation is rain. So coincidentally, you know, of course, we started with rain. It's the biggest opportunity. Within types of things that we cover, it's kind of some backstory on Sensible. You know, I started this company basically January 2020, just before COVID.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. For a year there was basically no one to sell to. And then once we got to market, it was pick and choose what's available, what's open. Conveniently, there was a big push when travelers were coming back around to thinking about traveling again. Of course, they all wanted to do something outside. They don't want to get an airplane. They don't want to go to a stuffy hotel room. They're concerned about COVID. You know, we found our first two niche, you know, pseudo niche markets, theme parks and camping. Definitely didn't expect that when I started the company. Nobody expected COVID. But, you know, from there, we've been able to grow our coverages to golf and ski resorts and anything under the sun effectively.
Yeah. So somebody who's camping, if they buy the weather guarantee and like it rains or something like that, so do they get just a reimbursement for like the amount of money they paid to stay like at that lodge or something for that day, is essentially what it is?
For that day.
Yeah.
That's correct. So when we have multi-day bookings, which is very common, camping hotels, for example, you basically have one policy for each day. So if the whole thing is a rain out, you get all your money back for all the days. But if only one day is impacted, you would get that day's average daily rate back.
Yeah. So what have you found? Like you mentioned you've sold about 80,000 of these. How do you think you can grow? Where do you see the company going? What's going to kind of be the next steps?
So there's the bread and butter point of sale stuff that we do, which is more hotels, more hotel platforms, get in front of more consumers, more domains, you know, URLs online when people book stuff. So that's sort of like base case. There's lots of merchants out there in lots of different industries, and we have to embed with their tech providers, or if their tech is in-house, embed with them directly to surface offers in front of their consumers. So that's the easiest explanation of, you know, one route to growth, but it's not the only one. One thing that I'm particularly excited about is premium credit cards. So just like you have travel insurance baked into your Chase Platinum, Chase Reserve, we could bake in a weather guarantee. You know, every hotel booked on this particular premium card comes with weather coverage, which would automatically reimburse that night's stay. That's not a transactional thing. It's a blanket coverage, but that's another really interesting route to scale. And then another sort of analogous type of thing where if you think of a hotel booking, we could have an optional add-on where a consumer opts in. We can also bundle it with the room rate. So this is kind of like the all-inclusive package.
Yeah, yeah.
Ultimately, you know, while I have to remain agnostic about which path ends up leading to success for us, you know, as a founder, we have to be open to opportunities, whichever one, you know, goes in the right direction and growth. And where I really want to see Sensible, both for myself and this company, but also for the world, is the baked-in option. I want this to be a seamless flow of funds where anytime you're doing something that's weather impacted, that's making you upset or ruining the trip, we essentially push you some money. Can we make that day better in the moment, right at that time where you're like, this is not what I wanted. This is not great. Can we make the whole thing seamless?
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to ask, like, why do you think people want this? Because if it is a rainy day when you're going camping, you can't go back in time and rebook it for the next week when it's sunny, which would obviously be the most ideal situation. Why do you think it is people want something like this? Does it really make them feel better to, you know, get a little bit of a reimbursement?
So it encourages rebooking, for one. The biggest driver of negative reviews, particularly in hospitality, is bad weather, which must be very frustrating, for example, for a hotel or a campground that was completely out of their control. If we can turn that moment around and reduce the bad reviews for the merchant, as well as change the experience in somebody's head, they're more likely to write a positive review or rebook. Oftentimes, we see people extending their stays. So if they had 2 days that were rained out, oh, we can stay an extra 2 days because the 2 days that were rained out are covered. You know, these are the types of things. And we generally think about our go-to-market in two categories. There's sort of the hospitality use case, generally lodging, whether that's camping or glamping or hotels or a vacation package, multi-day. You're doing lots of different things during the day. Maybe if it's rainy, you go to the spa, and we're essentially making your choice to go get a $300 massage a little bit easier with more money in your pocket. The other type of use case is more related to events or discrete ticketed attractions, where you are going somewhere at a certain place at a certain time to do a certain thing and is only open for a set number of hours.
Yeah.
That's a different use case where a lot of times, for example, theme parks, they'd be open all day. Say it's only going to rain in the afternoon and we've reimbursed you for the whole day. You go in the morning, you enjoy it, it's free. When it starts raining in the afternoon, you either say, okay, it was free, I'm going to enjoy this anyway, or you leave. That's the best case for everyone.
Yeah. And so, to kind of build on this a little bit, you use the data, obviously, that you've collected in helping like kind of set all of the different rates and different things that you offer through Sensible, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. And so you have a ton of data. Do you see yourself and Sensible being able to use that for other things? Like, are there other directions you think that Sensible might branch out in and that others might branch out in who are collecting a lot of weather data as we move into even more uncharted, unpredictable weather territory?
Yes, definitely. From day one, we've intentionally built as a platform. So the platform, both our weather and climate data and the data architecture that tears that data apart and surfaces up whatever data you require for your specific use case, that is use case agnostic. And then on top of that, we have a risk system, which allows us to query that data, run risk profiles, build products, you know, risk transfer products on top of it, also use case agnostic. The first product that we built on top of those two things, our platform, is the weather guarantee. Beyond that, that platform is very reusable. And definitely, yes, I mean, the next product that I absolutely want to go after, we have the B2C consumer product that ultimately is aimed at protecting the experience for a consumer. Mm-hmm. The other side of that same coin is the businesses, the merchants, where if you have a rainy weekend, for example, in a drive-to market, you're a hotel in a drive-to market, say you're in Napa, and it's going to be a rainy weekend in Napa. 80% of your clientele is driving up from San Francisco. If it's going to be a rainy weekend, they're going to cancel. The hotel, because of that reduced demand, takes a revenue hit. We can build a product that covers that revenue.
Yeah. So in other words, weather isn't necessarily going to become more predictable, but with this data, you might be able to help businesses, for instance, predict more likely something to happen and take the right steps in advance.
That's correct. It's all about, I mean, essentially trading volatility for certainty.
Yeah.
And what will a consumer or a business pay for that? We run the odds when we say, you know, weather is getting less predictable. Usually on a case-by-case basis, it's fairly predictable. When you look across the entire globe, it's less predictable. But that is what we do. We look across the entire globe and diagnose things on a case-by-case basis and ultimately build certainty into whatever products we're offering.
Yeah. All right. One final question for you. Where do you see startups going when it comes to weather? Like 5-10 years down the road, what are we going to be talking about with like some of the newest companies and how they're interacting with weather?
So while there are, you know, many categories, I think the biggest three are analytics. Mm-hmm. So these are companies providing data and services that appeal to somebody's business so they can try and understand the impacts of weather and climate on supply and demand as it impacts them. Risk transfer, or sort of colloquially speaking, insurance, where whether that's an insurance product, a derivative product, a warranty product, some sort of product that offsets risk, offsets volatility, again, in favor of certainty and productized. And then the last bit is forecasting and infrastructure, which we've really seen an explosion of over the last year with the generative AI models. Where these things go in time, I mean, it's CBD. It's a super interesting, rapidly developing category that will have an impact on weather forecasting, both in the public and private domains. The question at the moment is how. I think the jury's still out on that.
Yeah, I think that how AI is going to impact everything is like the final question in literally every single industry. So
yeah, this yeah. one too.
Exactly. All right. Well, that sounds good. So that's going to do it for us today. Thank you again, Nick, for joining us here at the Hustle Daily Show. For anyone who wants to find out more, you can visit Sensible Weather at sensibleweather.com. Thank you so much, Nick.
Thanks very much.
Hey, everybody, this great new podcast just came out, and I can't wait to tell you about it. It's called The Next Wave, AI in the Future of Technology, and it's hosted by Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands. And of course, it's brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. You can catch The Next Wave with Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands, who are leading AI creators who are your guiding light in the AI and technology frontier. AI technology is transforming the way we do business, and the media landscape is a bit fragmented, but The Next Wave strives to be the leading podcast on AI technology and how you can apply it to growing your business. You can listen to The Next Wave wherever you get your podcasts.